had a lot of anger or something you needed to get out, you could use this thing, you know. Almost more like a war weapon from the Middle Ages.
And I bet you didn't know it was made in the Northern Lynn Canal. Local products and news on regional economic development initiatives coming up. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. A Pacific Northwest industry leader says Southeast Alaska's cluster initiative could create jobs and grow the economy. Cluster groups bring together industry members, government agencies, and supporters to come up with new ways of developing, manufacturing, and marketing products. They're a little like a task force. Dave Click of the Northwest Food Processors Association has been active in his region's cluster efforts. Click says those efforts show cluster groups work.
We have seen 600 jobs in the last 4 years that were created or saved. Improved productivity, $13 million, over $100 million of cost avoidance. And political clout cannot be underscored.
Click spoke at Tuesday's Southeast Economic Summit at Juneau Centennial Hall, organized by the Juneau Economic Development Council. The Southeast Cluster effort is looking at the region's visitor, forest, and ocean products industries. It's also looking at how to develop a renewable energy industry. The summit gives cluster group members a chance to compare notes and focus their list of initiatives. Who said nothing's made in America anymore? These are the sounds of tools being made in Haines, Alaska. Sure, it's just a hobby class, but the popular Thursday sessions have over the years turned out dozens of hatchets, axes, mauls, machetes, and other various gougers and loppers, all made by Chilkat Valley people like John Norton.
This is going to be a chopping tool, clearing out the big chips and hollowing things like that.
And he expects to use it. John's been carving in Haines for years. His interest in woodworking was a big reason for taking the class, he says.
Having the tools, you know, and ones that you can make yourself so they're going to do what you want to do is what's really nice about what Jim Heaton's doing here.
That's right. Well-known local carver Jim Heaton is teaching the class through the Hainesboro School District's Community Education Program. It followed naturally in a line of other Native art-themed classes, like the Tlingit drawing classes last year that got a lot of people interested in painting, which got a lot of folks interested in carving, which ended in students asking for a tool-making class, which is quite a bit more challenging than drawing. It all starts with creating the rough shape of a blade drawn on metal. Then the shape is roughly cut from some old steel, in this case, part of an old car.
And this is a real old piece of spring, car spring. So, who knows, probably easily 40 years old. So.
Then into the heat it goes. Really hot heat.
2,500 degrees. It's a farrier's forge, but it's got a back gate to it, so you can do long things like this, like swords or like this dagger. It makes it really nice.
And at exactly the right moment, it's yanked from the red-hot oven and pounded into shape. Oh, and he also says it's a great way to work out some frustration. By the way, there's a video of that and some other photos of the students and their work on our website at khns.org. It all goes down at the Haines School in the well-outfitted workshop. There are no factory-style automated processes, no Santa's elves, but it kind of looks like there could be. There's a belt sander, workbenches, drill press, metal files, and lots of sandpaper. The second tool-making class of the year was open to anyone who was willing to cover the cost of materials and a small fee, no matter if you've ever seen a waterstone or if you're in your fifth Jim Heaton class, like Kluckwan's Daniel Klinoff.
Why are you taking the class?
Needed a straight blade.
He's serious. He's already made a few adzes and knives in classes before this one.
Yeah. I needed a few more tools, and it's always fun to take classes like this. You can always buy a knife for like $90, or I can make you a knife.
Daniel, like John, is working on the tool handle and fitting the pieces together. John says this part of the process begins with picking out a piece of wood for the handle.
These are some fresh pieces of birch that I cut down. I cut out of a piece of a tree that someone else had cut down, and they were potentially going to be adze handles. This one is really huge. And it's kind of like a two-handed thing, you know, if you were really, you had a lot of anger or something you needed to get out, you could use this thing, you know. Almost more like a war weapon from the Middle Ages. This one, I think, is more likely to get used. And so, anyway, I'm going to make both of them and see how they work.
The tool-making class that ended late last week is the second group this year to graduate with real homemade implements. The ones you're hearing from now were part of the class that took place earlier this year. The format has come a long way since the very first classes a decade ago.
The first adzes we made about 10 years ago, we just had a bunch of bricks we stacked up and used chunks of wood, and we had a hammer and a piece of railroad tie, and we pounded it out that way. By the time we were done, nobody had any forearm or eyebrows left. Their hair was just all singed off. And so this is a little better.
This time around has been a great success, says Heaton, such that more Native art classes are on the schedule at Community Ed. There's a mask-making class that starts January 5th. It runs Thursday nights for 10 weeks and will be limited at 10 people. Then a Bentwood box-making class begins after that in middle or late March. Heaton says experience is helpful, but not necessary. People don't have to provide wood, but they might need to bring a chopping block. Call Nate Benton, Community Education Director at the Haynesboro School District, for more information at 766-6727. Heaton says it's nice to use that space at the school, and he's happy to see more Native involvement in the classes. And he's excited to be teaching the new skills to his neighbors. He's not the only one.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Well, I look at it, I go, I cut the tree down. I forged the metal, shaped it out, and I have something useful.
Skagway's volleyball team just returned home from their final chance at the 2A state title.
We got back yesterday.
And as Coach Cindy O'Daniel says, the team finished in about the same place as last year, eighth place. It becomes apparent that that was actually not that far from first.
It went really well. We didn't win any matches, but we got matched up against Kenny Lake for our first match.
And Skagway's loss to Kenny Lake shot the interior team to the championship game against longtime regional rivals Klawock. So although Skagway lost their matches against Kenny Lake and then Cal Skag, most of the time coming within a few points of their contender, it was a little more complicated than that. First, Cal Skag's admirable record includes a win against Klawock, and when the team heard their season's biggest rival took state, it helped them put things in perspective.
They felt a lot better about how they'd done, especially watching them play Klawock. The championship match was incredible.
Klawock defeated Kenny Lake 23-25 in the first game, but then lost the next game in the match. The final three games were again Klawock's, although by only a few points, which landed them the overall title. Ironically, the one that Skagway took from them in the same match 2 years ago.
But again, each game was very close. I mean, I think we only lost each game by maybe 2 or 3 points. So they played really, really well. I was very happy with the way they played. It's of course disappointing to lose, but they played great.
It was the final opportunity for the Panthers to win a 2A volleyball title because new rules go into place next year. And for the three seniors, it was the final game of their high school court time, until basketball, that is.
One of our seniors, Rory Leverton, she was voted onto the all-tournament team. J.C. Ellis is one of our seniors, and she got player of the game one match. And then Anna Korsmo had a great second match. She's our other senior. So I think they should be really proud of themselves because they did us proud, for sure.
It was a victory in yet another way. Only a handful of the girls had even played in a state volleyball tournament before. It's likely that the entire team will participate in basketball this year, too, so it won't be their last chance to compete against those rivals.
It was a good season. We had some ups and downs, and I think they achieved all the goals that they'd set for themselves.
And thinking ahead to next year, here's where we all learn what mixed six means. Because with new criteria going into place next season, Skagway's student population now makes it a 1A school in sports. But 1A schools have something called mixed six, which is the division that allows boys to play on small volleyball teams in small schools, like Skagway, which it might come down to next year, says Coach O'Daniel.
I'm not even sure if we'll have enough kids for a team next year. So we'll see. because we had 8 on the team this year, and we lose 3. And we don't have any girls coming into high school next year that want to play, I think. So I'm not really sure if we'll have enough. You know, we might, if we can get some boys to come out and play, we might be able to play mixed 6.
Mixed 6 was introduced this year and includes teams like Unalakleet, Marshall, Glacier View, Norvik, Antioch, Scammon Bay, Nipaktiguit, and Golovin. This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News. If you miss a newscast or want to hear one again, go to our website at khns.org and click on the Listen tab. There you'll also find some photos and video to go along with your local news.